Happy Mother's Day. Today, we celebrate mom. Most of the time, we do so by buying her some kind of gift. Maybe you have plans this afternoon and you're going to take her out to lunch or dinner. If you're going to lunch, good luck with that. If your mom is passed away and is no longer living on this planet, maybe you honor her with memories. You sit around this afternoon and tell stories about mom. And moms are important. First off, even if you don't like your mom, just so you know, you don't get here without her. All right? Somewhere along the way, mom got you on this planet. Mine used to remind me all the time, I got you here and I can take you out, all right? Mom is important because guess what? When you're little and you scrape your knee, usually you go looking for mom. If you need some TLC, usually the words that come out of your mouth are not dad. Nope. You want mom. Moms were important because like it or not, we learn a lot of our life skills from mom. You mimic a lot of what your mother has taught you. And maybe in a little bit of a sad point, moms are important because when it comes to faith, often they are forced into leadership of their families. So last week, we started this sermon series. It's called A Lot to Learn About Life. And Lot is a man whose life was marked by living not just in this world. If you ever want to look for what a worldly life looks like, here's your man. He is littered with poor decision making, and he is not a hero in the Bible, although the Apostle Peter calls him righteous. And for the life of me, I'm still trying to figure out why. But in case you didn't know, Lot was married, although we don't know her name. She doesn't get a name. She's just called Lot's wife, kind of like Noah's wife or Job's wife. Don't know who she is. And well, Lot had two daughters. Therefore, if you just do the calculations here, since Lot was married, therefore there was a female, and you know what? She had two daughters. That means Lot would be a mom. So that makes her a good topic for Mother's Day, especially since Jesus knew all about Lot's wife. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. So congratulations, you can now leave here today saying you've memorized at least one verse of Scripture, because that's the entire verse. Remember Lot's wife. Although it is part of a much bigger teaching where Jesus is teaching on his second coming. And when he's doing this teaching, he emphasizes that this is going to be a sudden moment that will come. He tells us there's no time to collect your possessions, or even if you are right there with them, you're not going to be able to grab anything when it's time to go. He tells us there will be no time to go and harvest something new. So you know what? If you forgot to pick it before Jesus comes, it's not like he's going to say, okay, you take a moment, you go harvest, and you bring it here. There's no time left. Time is all done. We can't be too in love with our life here on this planet, at least not at that moment. He talks about the idea how one person will be taken and another person will be left, and how they might be working side by side in the field, and one goes and one stays. How it'd be morning and noon and night and everything else, and it's just going to be one of those moments that when this happens, it's going to be utter chaos and confusion in everybody's life, because we're all going to be wondering what happened. In not of the world. Make no mistake, Jesus is very, very interested in this concept. And you know, as he talks about this second coming thing, we get caught in this weirdness here that we try to figure out when it's going to happen. There are entire series and websites and books that are dedicated to cobbling together signs and things that are happening in the world all because we want to know, when is all of this going to happen? Strangely enough, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, it says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." See, we get so busy trying to be smart, we miss the point of Jesus' lesson. "Therefore, I find it important, since Jesus held up Lot's wife as a warning sign for a worldly lifestyle, I think it's important that we should find out just what it is Jesus is warning us about." So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you have a Bible, would you please make your way to Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 through 26. We're going to time jump a little bit in the story to pick up Lot's wife, and then next week we will be back into the regular flow of the sermon series. But I wanted to step out and kind of give Lot's wife the moment of spotlight she deserves. This is what we read in Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 through 26. "By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." She looked back. That's what she's known for. Verse 15 says, "With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Hurry, take your wife and your daughters who are here, or you will be swept away with the city when the city is punished.' God sent messengers to deliver her family from destruction. But she looked back." Folks, she escaped with her family and her life. But she looked back. And it raises a good question. Why look back? The Bible never actually tells us why she looked back. Thus, it leaves it open for a great moment of discussion and what I hope will be an interesting and thought-provoking sermon. See, like it or not, Lot's wife has a lot in common with us, because God sent somebody into their lives to rescue us from our destruction. And today, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I have very good news for you. You have been, I didn't use the word saved, rescued. Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory and God forever and ever. Amen." Not only have you been rescued, we miss this one a lot of times. We were commanded to flee, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. "Flee evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call the Lord out of a pure heart." Maybe we do have a lot more in common with Lot's wife than we like to think. Thus, maybe the reason Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife is so we can answer the very real question. Not why did she look back. Why do we look back? Verses 16 and 17, "When he hesitated," he being Lot, "the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them to safety out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away.'" Why did Lot's wife look back, and why do we oftentimes look back? I got no way to put it except for start here. Sometimes leadership dawdles. I picked that word purposely. We could have used the word delay, but I like the word dawdle because delay means you're just kind of procrastinating. Dawdle means you're just sitting there aimlessly wandering about, trying to find anything else to do rather than what God has asked you to do. What was Lot thinking about here? I mean, this is important because it begins with leadership. She looked backwards, true, but it began with Lot's refusal to look forward. It says he hesitated. Just a moment, just a pause, but you get what was happening, and I have to ask, what was he waiting for? Did he want another sign? I mean, he's got two messages of God standing right there in front of him. What did he need? Did he need the skies to part or maybe something miraculous to happen to get him to move? Maybe he wanted a better offer. Yeah, Lot, you get out the city, and I tell you what, we'll throw in a beachfront condo with it. Maybe the reason Lot hesitated, because he was hoping above all hopes, God's going to change his mind. You must wonder how different would the scene have looked if when the angel said go, when the messenger said get yourselves moving, if Lot had reached out and grabbed his wives and his daughters and said, ladies, it is time to go, follow me. But instead it says he hesitated. And it wasn't Lot that led his family. It was the angels that had to grab him and literally drag them out of that city. What if he had boldly led his family instead of being pulled out and his life kicking and screaming? Folks, we need to remember, men, parents, Lot's hesitation added to his wife's doubt. If your leaders aren't sure where they're going, why on earth would you follow them? If you have doubts about their abilities to make a good decision, then you start asking the questions. And when you begin moving, there's that little thing going on in the back of your head. Of course, dawdling isn't the only thing that happened. You know why she looked back and we look back also? Yeah, there's another D word. It's called disbelief. Folks, I don't think we take God at his word. The verse said, he is merciful. And wait a minute, if he's a God of mercy, then he wouldn't actually allow anybody to go to hell, right? I mean, in the end, everybody gets an escape card, right? That's merciful, right? He's a forgiving God. He wouldn't really punish somebody for doing something as simple as looking back, would he? I mean, we try to take God and put him into a bucket that he doesn't belong, but we forget. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 9. When he comes, he will prove to the world, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. So here's a very real question for you this morning. Do you believe it? Do you take God at his word? And if you say yes very quickly, I have a question for you. Why on earth are you looking back? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Yeah, we spend a lot of time about food, don't we? About what about your body? Well, we do that. We worry about our health, right? About what you will wear? Yeah, we do that. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? You get it, right? Today, if I am worried about this life, then what I am trying to do is live this new life in Christ looking over my shoulder. I'm looking back because I just don't believe God is going to be there for me when I need him. Of course, maybe there's another reason she looked back and we looked back. Maybe it wasn't because Lot dawdled. Maybe it wasn't because it was of disbelief. Maybe she just got distracted. Remember, they had built quite a life in that city. They had investments. If you read through the story, you find out their daughters were going to be married in that city. They had fiancés that were living there. By the way, notice the fiancés aren't with them on the Great Escape. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Their entire future was tied to that city. And as they ran, and the explosion started, and they could feel the heat on the back of their necks from everything that was going on, I know exactly what's running through their heads. This can't be happening. You have got to be kidding me. This is not the plan. So what do you do? Wonder if that was my house that just blew up. I wonder if that was my neighbor. Everything, every explosion, they would get that temptation just to turn their head. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in the right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. Folks, we are easily distracted individuals. We don't know how far she got. Maybe she barely made it out of the city before she had to take a look back. Who knows? Maybe they had ran all the way across the plain and they were almost to their goal, and there she was, and she just couldn't help it anymore. She had to look back. But here's the reality of the situation, folks. It does not matter how far you go if you never actually leave your old life behind. That's what she had done. As she was running, she was still married to the life God said flee. And as that life began to end and the explosion began to happen, she began to thinking, did I remember to cut that light off when I left the house? Did we close the garage door? Maybe I should go back and check. We're laughing, but isn't that what we do with our life when God says leave it behind? Yeah, God, I got one more thing to pack up. God said, no, run, flee. Of course, maybe it wasn't that she dawdled. Maybe it had nothing to do with her disbelief. Maybe she really wasn't all that distracted. You know why I usually end up looking back? Yeah, here's my D word. Disobedient. She was warned. Don't look back. God made it very, very simple. Run for your life. Don't stop. Sounds like we're playing Monopoly here, right? Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Okay? God wanted her to understand you are running and you're not going to stop. Do you remember the root of all sin, of all disobedience? Yeah, it comes from dragons last year. It's this word, desire. She's running, but her heart's just not in what she's doing. Her heart is what she wants, because what is the root of all desire? Yeah, we're good with this word. I want to stay in the city. I want to be where I am. God, I was happy just like I was. Oftentimes, we're like the Israelites, freed from slavery, but we want to go back. We look at it and we say, God, you really can't mean that too. I have to give that up too. God, you're just being flat out unreasonable. Do you know how much I've given you? And you want the rest of it? And in the end, you get what we end up telling God. often we simply can't go because we just don't want to. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. God, this is my life. This is what I want. This is where I chose to live. This is who I choose to marry. This is my life. And when God starts to invade your life, I want to take my life with me, don't I? We spend most of our lives about this balancing act. We're trying to balance the life that I want and somehow fit God into it. Isn't this what Lot's wife was doing? She had lived her life in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had brought her daughters into Sodom and Gomorrah. They had done everything there. And when God said it was time to go, she said, but that's not the life I chose. And as she's running, in spite of everything God told her, in fact, God filled her in on the plan. He didn't leave it a mystery. He said, I'm going to level this place. There isn't going to be one stone stacked on top of the other. This is all over. And I am giving you a chance to experience grace and mercy. Run! Have you ever tried running looking over your shoulder? Maybe you've never turned into a pillar of salt, but if you tried it, you know where you end up? Flat on your face. Because you can't do it. You can't drive a car unless you look at the road. You can't drive a car looking in a rearview mirror your entire life. You will crash. That's the reason they make this thing called a windshield, so that you look out of it. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that Lot dawdled. Maybe it wasn't that she got disobedient. Maybe it wasn't the fact that she was distracted. Maybe it wasn't her disbelief. But I tell you what I bet does happen. She's just flat out disinterested. Or you could just phrase it as she didn't want to go. Any of these could be the rational reason, but that's just where the rubber meets the road, folks. She never, ever really wanted to leave her old life behind. Could this be me? Could it be that the reason I can't move forward in my Christian life, because I don't want to leave the old one behind? Maybe I've forgotten Jesus' word from Luke chapter 17. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life will preserve it. God says that you can't do it. You can't pack your life here and make your life here the priority and then expect that when God says flee, to just take it all with you. Pack up the RV, get a camper, rent a U-Haul, and just take my wife with me. Even with the messenger standing right there in front of them, remember, they hesitated. Why did they hesitate? Because they were thinking about all the stuff they were about to leave behind. They were stuck in their love affair with their life. And then in the weirdest turn of events, they had to be forced to leave. And even when the angels drove them through the city and got them to the gate and said, shoo, get out of here, go, run, do something else, go somewhere. Here they are running. Lot, two daughters, and his wife. And it just got to be too much. Remember Lot's wife? Yeah, we know Lot's wife. I don't know her name. But you know what I do know? She looked back. You know, the funny thing is It never said that Lot's wife was a bad mom. I've seen Bible videos, and we try to paint her like she was the party wild child of Sodom. Okay, like she was out doing this and doing that, and she had no love for her family whatsoever. You know, for all we knew, she's the June Cleaver of Sodom. She loved her family. Never said she was some horrible person. Never said she killed anybody. Never said that she abandoned her kids. Never said any of the things that we associate. Didn't say she was out sleeping around. The Bible never tells us any of these things. All it tells us is she looked back. So, minister confession time. Yeah, y'all love these moments. No, you probably don't, but we're going to do it anyway. So, just as an example of how stuck we can get in our life, I want you to move you here inside the building here for just a little bit. And you know, every now and then, the leadership gets some crazy idea and we decide to change something. Maybe we decide to sing a different song. Maybe we decide to move a piece of furniture. Maybe we decide to knock down a wall and make a different entrance to the building. We change something. And inevitably, what happens is somebody gets upset with the change. I've been in church for a lot of years. I've been doing this since I was 11 years old, and I've seen a lot of very godly people do some very ungodly things when it comes to dealing with change in the church. And inevitably, they decide what they really need to do is they need to go sit down and have a chat with the minister and give the minister a lesson on church history. And we start talking about all the way the things, we love these words, used to be, and how things are supposed to work in the church. And I always find the conversations interesting because we're never really talking about church history. You know what we're talking about? What I want. How I perceive church. And he's saying, well, where's the confession part? Well, it's coming. Because sometimes while people are giving me these lectures and I'm listening to these conversations, I get the uncontrollable urge to lick them. And you're thinking, that's disgusting. Well, no, God says we're supposed to greet each other with a holy kiss. And here's the thing, most of the people know, he might actually do it. It's just an uncontrollable urge, but you understand, this would be a lick of love. Because what I want to know is how salty are you, folks? Are we so set in our ways that we can't move when God says move? Have our hearts become so hard that we can no longer hear God? Have we gotten to the point that God says run and we say let's have a discussion about it? Are we so in love with our life that we just can't leave it behind for anything? Still think that maybe we don't have some things in common with Lot? Folks, we spend an awful lot of time looking over our shoulders. And God says, hey, there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell, and his guilt is ready to be destroyed at some point. Jesus talks about it. What are you looking at your life behind you for? Folks, we have absolutely positively a lot. I cut it off. There we go. We have absolutely positively a lot to learn about moving forward when it comes to living in this world and not of this world. Because this world is full of a bunch of temporary stuff. As a matter of fact, there isn't a single solitary thing on this planet that will last forever. Not an object and not a person. Everything has some kind of an expiration date. But how consumed do we get with our life, hanging on to our past and looking back to our past, when God said move forward? Lot should have taken a lesson from Abraham. When God said go, what did Abraham do? Start packing. Didn't even ask where to go. He just said, I'm with you. I hope you do remember Lot's wife. When God gives you a mission or the next step in your life, and sometimes you're looking around and you're doing the math, and you're like, God, this doesn't make any sense. Get a different calculator, folks. How about you get a godly calculator? You don't have to add up. It doesn't always have to fit the balance sheet, and this is a lesson for me. Sometimes you just need to move forward and not look back.